For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Old Dirty, the Dilf, and Byron. Byron is in the building as Tyler is out. Haven't heard from Tyler. He must be having a great time out there. Get a little. I'm sure he's off the course now. Now it's about time to just getting after it. I'm sure of it to party for him. But Byron is in holding it down for us today. I do want to get to the Orioles and the Astros as they play game two tonight, as the Astros just dominated them last night, 6-0 behind Spencer Arrighetti. And the bottom of the order came through big time. They won 6-0. They look to win game two tonight. But it was interesting. Kenny Rosenthal, Fox Sports, one of the better reporters, baseball reporters out there, he had some comments about what he was hearing about the situation with Alex Bregman. If you remember, Alex Bregman missed 5 straight games, swelling in the back of his elbow. Then yesterday it was reported that he was taking balls at first base. Joe Espada said they're going to potentially have him play some first base. You might see him there at first base at some point in the road trip due to the swelling in the elbow. Well, this is what Ken Rosenthal had to say yesterday in the middle of the game as he gave a report on what he heard about Bregman.
Well, it's interesting, Kenny. The plan is as soon as tomorrow for Alex Bregman to do something that he has never done in his professional or collegiate career, and that is play first base. Bregman took grounders at first today without throwing. He's going to continue to play third as well, depending upon how he is feeling. The Astros want him in the field as much as possible so that they can DH Yordan Alvarez and not play him in left field.
All right, so they want him as much as they can, get him in the field. First base, third base. Well, guess what? The lineup is out today, Clint, and he is batting second. He has DH'd the last 2 days, but today he is back at third base. I'm
surprised.
I'm confused.
Well, I mean, hell, that's where we all are. I mean, to be honest with you, we all are. Anybody that follows it that close, we all are. We're all confused to what the hell's going on. But all I can do again,
surprised. Go back. You said you're surprised, right?
He's at third base. Yeah, I mean, I'm surprised he's at third base. I think that this is. We've got to just wait to see what they do versus listen to what they say. And I can't help but think that this is something that's not near as significant as we thought it was, given that he missed 5 games and then he came back in DH for 2 or 3 games and now he's playing third base. This has got to be one of those where the team docs, not the trainers, the team docs, any whatever doctors that I'm sure Alex Bregman had second and third opinions, whatever those doctors found and saw when they sat down, it had to be, hey, here's the issues and what's causing the swelling and the uncomfortable, you know, feeling that you're having in the elbow. And the reality of it is that there is little to no risk of you playing third base, and it may swell, it may be a little bit sore, but you've proven you can still swing the bat, and you're not going to hurt anything playing the field. Ron, if there is any risk whatsoever, if this is one of those deals where at any point in time he could field a ground ball, throw it across the diamond, his elbow pop, and he can't swing a bat for the next 2 months, next 3 months, if there's any risk even remotely close to that, then the Astros are fools for putting him out there. I've got to believe that this move is, they have been advised by the medical professionals and multiple medical professionals that there is little to no risk of him playing in the field and making that throw. Do you want to push it? Probably not. But is there any if there's little to no risk and all we're looking at is a little bit of swelling, then that's the only way to make sense of this. What do you got?
Some breaking news here. According to Chandler Rome, Yordan Alvarez has been scratched from the Astros lineup with neck stiffness.
Come on, man.
Alex Bregman will go to DH tonight, and Shea Whitcomb will play third base. Bregman said his elbow is healthy enough to play third base. He threw from 120 feet without issue. But Yordan Alvarez, this is just coming through. Yordan Alvarez has been scratched from the Astros lineup with neck stiffness. Alex Bregman's going to DH today. Jay's going to come back in here and play third base.
The old neck stiffness got us again, boys. I wonder if he slept wrong on it. You got to be kidding.
Don't
me.
Say it. I'm not kidding you. Neck stiffness.
I mean, the only way neck stiffness happens is you sleep on it wrong.
Just don't say it. Just don't say you
slept
on it.
That's what we're going to hear
now. I don't even want an explanation if it is. I just don't. Just woke up. It was just rough. He's getting it. He's next stiff. No, you're not.
Well, I mean, so give me lineup, something about he was in the weight room or something.
So I need the lineup. I don't know what the new lineup here is. No, here is the Astros' new lineup. Altuve, Bregman, Diaz is moved up to the three spot. Pena in the four spot. Myers, Whitcomb at third base in the six spot. Dubon, DeZinzo, and McCormick.
Mm.
That's the lineup tonight in Baltimore.
Boy, no Tucker, no Alvarez. That thing's getting slim, ain't it?
Yeah. Well, at least they get to stave off Alex Bregman and Dave for not having to play in the field. But they were going to bunt the hell out of him. But man, they are wow.
Well, back to the Bregman deal, Ron. I've got to believe that this is if they're going to play him at third base on August the 23rd with a five. Or at least is it still five games? Five and a half now. With a 5.5 game lead in the division, if they're going to play him at third base, they have been informed, and Alex Bregman, most importantly, obviously feels good about it, that there is little to no risk. Which to me, as an Astros fan, forget what you've heard them say. That move alone tells me that I can ease my concern a little bit about Bregman and what potentially could happen. Now that he's been scratched from the lineup, I don't know how that impacts that. That statement, but
I'm just hopeful. Nothing eases me with the injuries in the Astros. I just don't have a lot of confidence with that. No, nothing eases me with the Astros and injuries, but hopefully he's fine. It's just a hell of a shift. Something I don't know. Maybe he slept great last night and it completely changed the wrist there on his elbow. I mean that he's fielding grounders at first yesterday and not throwing. That was a report. Taking grounders at first and not throwing at first. And now he's throwing 120 yards away.
Yeah.
Or feet away, excuse me. Wow. All right. There we go. Yordan out again. If you missed it, Yordan out.
Well, that was
the
a tease. Bregman at third, and then Yordan, because Yordan's neck stiff, they
keep his ass at third. Shoot. Keep him at third.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
He good. Keep him at third.
Why wouldn't you? Then just DH Caratini or something.
That's what it makes sense to me. DH Caratini.
Mm.
Why wouldn't you just put him at. See? Get to that again. That's the latest with Alex Bregman and now Yordan Alvarez.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, speaking of that tonight, they're going to be without Yordan Alvarez and, as you said, Kyle Tucker. But Hunter Brown is on the mound. And I don't know about you, and I don't know about Astros fans. I am now getting to a point with Hunter Brown where I feel he'll pitch well. I don't know if they're going to win, but he'll pitch well. I have pretty good confidence that Hunter Brown is not just going to give you and put you in a position where you have a chance to win, where it's not like 8-0. But I think he'll he'll probably pitch well, and the other starter that he opposes is going to have to pitch a good game for their team to stay with. I think he is starting his sample size, like we're months now. I mean, at this point, his sample size is through where he is just, it's like he's in a groove, Clint. He comes out every single 5 days and bam, bam, bam. And you look up and it's like six innings, ho-hum. He's given up three runs at the worst, probably none, one. I feel pretty confident when he's on the mound.
I feel very confident he's on the mound. You mentioned sample size, Ron. I'll give you one. Last 13 starts, he's 10-2. He's pitched 79 innings. His ERA is 2.16. His WHIP is 1.18. He struck out 85 and he's walked 25. Hunter Brown has been had a rough start, no doubt about it. But boy, he has been absolute nails his last 13 starts. And I think it's a big enough sample size to where I feel really good about what he's going to do his next outing, which is tonight, what he's going to do the rest of the year. And really, I'm probably overly confident in what he's going to bring to the table in the playoffs. I feel like the Hunter Brown that we've been talking about for 2 years now has arrived.
Yeah, I'm at a point, and it happened quick because it was a – He was having a rough go of it to start this thing, but now, man, he is nailed. I mean, his nails, and I think he's even now learning how to pitch, not just get people out with his stuff. That's the next step, right? And he's starting to do that, go longer in the games. We talked about that, where like be a little bit more pitch efficient, like Verlander is able to do, where we see Verlander routinely in the seventh, sometimes the eighth. That's the next thing for him, but. Hunter Brown, man, I'm more surprised if it's not a quality start from him. At this point, he has been able to throw the ball that well.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint, as the NFL preseason's coming to an end, the Steelers, they're one of those teams that kind of have a decision to make at quarterback. And right now, they've been maintaining that Russell Wilson is the one, but Justin Fields obviously is competing with them. Justin Fields says he believes in himself and believes that he has done enough to be the starter, but defers to Mike Tomlin when making the decision at quarterback. Listen, I'm going to tell you, I've said it. I wish Mike Tomlin would do it for all of us and allow us to just watch this kid. And to see what he's going to what he can do, because he's a much more entertaining watch to me than what Russell Wilson is bringing to the table. But I completely can understand why you would go to Russell Wilson. I completely can understand that there's probably a trust level that maybe you know a little bit more on what you're going to get out of Russ than you do from Justin Fields. And I can completely see that, especially saying to yourself that we can run the ball and we can play defense like Mike Tomlin probably wants to do. I'd like to have a guy back there that I have a little bit more confidence in knowing more of what I'm going to get, and maybe use Justin Field in packages. So I can completely see how they get to and Tomlin gets to it being Russ. I sure hope the hell it's not. I don't.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you, man. The fact that it's even a conversation right now is surprising to me, but I think it's very telling. Like, obviously, I know Russ has missed a good chunk of camp with some injury issues. But the to me, the fact that it's a conversation speaks volumes about Justin Fields and where he's at. He's in a much more stable franchise right now than what Chicago was when he was there. He's got some weapons around him. You know, it's that time in his career where he's been through the storms, and you would think that the game would start to slow down a little bit for him, and he would start playing the quarterback position at a higher level, be more impressive day in, day out. And then you've got the dynamic of the legs, man, and we all know how valuable that is in today's game. And so I don't know, man. Like it would be. As if the pressure wasn't already enough for Russell Wilson to go in there, and he was going to play extremely well from jump, or the Boo Birds were going to come out, and I don't know that he can handle that very well. I question that the fit of him in Pittsburgh just from kind of his approach and his personality doesn't seem to be a fit there. Boy, now that Justin Fields has played well and it's even a conversation, seems like an added layer to that potential pressure right there. I don't know how you don't go with Justin Fields.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think they have more confidence in what they're going to get from him.
He's got to be tired of 500. He's got to be tired of safe. He's got to be tired of, well, I'm going to go with a guy that I don't think is going to turn it over. Now, he's got to be to a point where he's like, to hell with this, man. Let me see if I got a quarterback that can go in here and win games for me. Let me see if this young fella can be my guy for the next handful of years and we can actually go out and threaten to win this whole thing versus just be safe. He's got to be there, right?
I don't know. I think in his mind, he thinks if I had better quarterback play, like at least more confidence in what I was going to get quarterback play, if I had what Russ did last year, I may have won the division. I could see him. You know, he's a defensive coach as well, and defensive coaches tend to lean, not all of them, but tend to lean towards, like, I got this defense, just don't turn it over. Don't mess it up.
Yeah.
Like, let's not mess it up. I mean, he inherited Ben, so that's a little different thing. All right. We'll see. That's going to be one to watch to see who is starting for the Steelers when the season starts, Russ or Justin Fields. Coming up, we know what tomorrow is about for the Houston Texans. Not about CJ, not about Tank, Stephon Diggs, or Derek Stingley, or Danielle Hunter. Not about those guys. It's about the guys trying to make this team. And the question is, who is playing for their job tomorrow at NRG? Who is playing for their job tomorrow? We'll discuss who coming up.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive. As Tyler is out, and I'm going to assume Byron, crack that mic. I'm going to assume Byron. That Tyler didn't pass along best of the week?
No.
You have to have a sit down with him, man.
Nah, I think I've had enough sit down.
you have enough one on ones.
I think I'm just gonna end it.
You gonna end?
I think so.
You just gonna, okay? Well, best of, huh? It had a good run.
4 out of 6 weeks.
Really? We've only had 2 in the last 6 weeks. Oh my! Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of worn off.
Somebody, yeah, yeah.
It's kind of worn out. It's welcome, you know.
Yeah,
sorry to hear that.
One of my favorite segments. So just letting you know, pop the cherry right now for you guys. No best of the week. No best of the week. So
no this week. Obviously, are you talking ever again?
I don't know. I don't know.
You gonna sleep on it?
I'm gonna do some soul searching over the weekend.
Okay. Well, let me know if you need to talk about it, man. I'll be available this weekend.
I hope Tyler's out there having a blast, baby, and enjoying himself. But he'll be back on Monday, and hopefully we have more clarity on who's going to be on this team on Monday.
Yeah.
And I think we'll see and learn some of that clarity coming up tomorrow at the game, 12 o'clock, as they finish this preseason off. And this is going to be about the guys playing for their jobs. This is going to be for the guys playing for jobs at other spots, trying to get on somebody's practice squad or other places. But when we look at this, Clint, it feels like one name has been coming up all week. One name. Just like we talked about last week or week before, that, hey, John Metchie's got to do something. John Metchie's got to do something. They can't keep being able to justify John Metchie being on this team if he goes out there and he's just not productive whatsoever. And I think now that has slid over to Dameon Pierce. And it feels like tomorrow Dameon Pierce needs to have a big performance to be able to stay on this team. Because I do think, what do you think, they carry four running backs, right? And we're looking at, obviously, Joe Mixon. Right now, Akers probably in the two spot. Darre's going to be on this roster with the special teams usage. And then there's another one. There's Gerard Jordan, the J.J., I can't remember his last name. But J.J. Johnson, I can't remember. I'm not going to try it anymore. But them, and then there's Dameon Pierce. And it seemed like this is who it's pointed to. Tomorrow is a big day for him.
Yeah, tomorrow's a big day for him. Tomorrow's a big day for D'Amico. Tomorrow's a big day for Bobby Slowick. I mean, look, they've got to get this run game going. And while all the starters aren't starting, I think we minimize the importance of the backup running back until that backup running back becomes your starter, like he did last year Devin Singletary. You know, you minimize that guy, but if you really look at it, I mean, there's going to be, let's call it 20% of the carries. You know, if 15% of the carries, you know, that adds up over time. And if you're Bobby Slowick and if you're D'Amico Ryans, the schedule's more difficult. Are you really in a spot where you can afford to go out there and again, 10, 15, 20% of your runs in each game, turn around and hand it to a guy that's shown to be much more of the bad Dameon Pierce that he was in 2023 than the good Dameon Pierce that he was in 2022? Can you afford to do that? Can you afford to continue to overlook what Cam Akers is doing, whether we're talking about catching the ball out of the backfield or we're talking about making something out of nothing with the big cutback last week, the Hall of Fame game, the spin move going into the red zone kind of deal? You know, how long can you continue to be patient with Dameon Pierce? And I think with this team, whether you're talking about Super Bowl aspirations or you're talking about just Bobby Slowick as an offensive coordinator overall, he did great things in the past game, does great things with the receivers and the quarterbacks and overcoming injuries. But the one thing about Bobby Slowick at this point is, I think the knock is, hey, man, he's had a really difficult time putting together a complimentary run game, anything that you can whatsoever that you can depend on. And, you know, last year, CJ and the receiving core that emerged was enough with that schedule. This year, it's going to be a lot more difficult. So I think it's not just about Dameon Pierce. It's ultimately about Dameon Pierce and whether he shows us something that we haven't seen, obviously, of late. But really, I think it's about all of these guys. It's about, can Bobby Slowick get it done? And to me, it's about, do we ever hear with this staff, do we ever hear like, hey, man, I'm not saying you panic, but do we ever hear, hey, man, there's a sense of urgency. We understand that we got to get better at this.
Sense of urgency. Let's hear from D'Amico, because D'Amico, he's been getting these questions about the run game, right? He's been getting it. He said it earlier in the week. He said, well, I'm going to judge it off about two runs. There was one where there was a hole we should have hit, we didn't hit, and then there was one that was unblocked. He was hit with it again yesterday. This is him talking specifically about Dameon Pierce in the run game.
Yeah, Dameon, we got to get him some ops in the game. You know, just get him some more ops running the football. But Dameon's done a great job out here at practice. I don't think everybody's seen that in the game because, you know, when he had his opportunities, we got guys unblocked in the hole, so he doesn't have a chance to really get started. So, you know, we just have to give him more opportunities, but we have to block it better up front so he does have opportunities to make some plays in a running game.
All right, so, I mean, it sounds like, I don't know, maybe he's just trying to give him as much confidence as he possibly can and let him know I'm behind you. But it almost sounds like, Clint, that's a man that doesn't believe that Damian Pierce's job is on the line coming up tomorrow. And I think most people, and I think that's been most of the conversation, is where does he fit on the team? I've heard Sean Pendergast and Seth this morning talk about, hey, this is going to be big. Is he on the team or is he not, or is he get traded? I saw after the game Saturday, Brandon Scott rank all the running backs that he thinks are the best on this team and just didn't have Damian Pierce in the ranking. I said it. I said it, and I still stand by it. I believe that maybe he just needs a change of scenery, and maybe they need to go separate ways. That guy who's the head coach and ultimate decision maker, it sounded like it didn't seem like he felt like he was in as much trouble.
Yeah, I don't know. I think.
Or did you hear something between the lines?
Well, we're not going to hear what we have said, and we're not going to hear what Brandon Scott has said. Obviously, they want this thing to work. They've leaned into how much better he's gotten, start to finish, personally, on the field, all this kind of stuff. What I heard was we've got to get him more opportunities and we got to be better up front, which could all be pointed squarely at Saturday afternoon. We're gonna get him a lot more opportunities and we've got to be better up front for us to make a decision. I've watched the same film, Ron. There is no way, zero chance, that Bobby Slowick and D'Amico Ryans don't watch the same film that we're watching. And we're just watching it through the lens of Damian Pierce and doesn't say, we have to have more. We have to have more out of our backup running back. And Cam Akers is bringing more to the table in a very small sample size, whether it's catching the ball out of the backfield, drives are continuing and ending points. The two runs where he's had some wow runs where it was a spin move in the Hall of Fame game and the cutback in last week's game. Another guy that's had a small sample size, but he's found a way to flash. Now all of a sudden you look at, he's a veteran. He knows this offense. He appears to be healthy with these Achilles situations that he's had in the past. If for an organization that constantly talks about, we are always going to do what's best for this football team. What's best for this football team is to get Damian Pierce a lot of work this week. And if nothing changes, then when comes the regular season, start preparing. It comes the regular season, Cam Akers needs to be your number two back.
And I think he should be right now.
I think he is right now. I don't think they're going to say that, but I think he is right now. Damian Pierce needs to go out there and show that, prove that he's turned the corner, or we're going to find out week one that Cam Akers is the guy.
And Clint, we've said here, nobody's a bigger Damian Pierce fan than me. I have tried to force it with Damian Pierce. But, Clint, I at first I was saying Cam Akers may have a better shot as the number two back because he's got skills on third down and hands like that, and he would be a perfect third down back. But I now think that what we've seen, if something were to happen to Joe Mixon, like Joe Mixon's been injured a lot in camp, and if something were to happen, I think Cam Akers is also better to get the ball, to be the everyday back.
Yeah.
Every down back, excuse me, not just third down back. So that's what their production has shown. So a big day for him tomorrow. All right, coming up next, Alex Bregman. He was supposed to start at third base tonight. That has changed. We will tell you why, and we will tell you the latest as reporters are responding to Dana Brown's thought that Kyle Tucker could be ready by early September. We'll discuss that.
Oh, hell.
All right, welcome back in. We appreciate you joining us here as a Friday edition as we were rolling through here on The Drive, getting ready for the Astros as they take on the Orioles tonight, and there has been some movement and some change in this game tonight. Here is from Chandler Rome of The Athletic. Alex Bregman said, from Chandler Rome of The Athletic, saying that Yordan Alvarez is not going to start tonight's game due to neck stiffness, so instead Alex Bregman will move to DH, and Alex Bregman initially was playing third base tonight. He was going to return to the field for the first time since the injury was reported, but he is going to move from third base back to the DH where he's been the last two nights. Shea Whitcomb is going to be the third baseman tonight, and Yordan Alvarez is down with neck stiffness. Do not know how he is down with neck stiffness. They are in a hotel room. I don't know what hotels they're staying at. I don't know if they stay at the same type of ones all the time, but I don't know if the pillows or the beds are giving them some problems at certain hotels. I don't know if
that is happening. Just don't know which one it is.
Yeah, I don't know if they've been going to Four Seasons all around the country and they need to switch it. I don't know. But neck stiffness is keeping Yordan Alvarez out of the lineup today, which now moves Bregman out of third base and back to the DH spot. And I thought that was an interesting comment you made. If he's good to go, why they move him to DH?
Yeah, look,
why not play third base?
I mean, clearly the thought was they needed the DH to rest Yordan Alvarez, which again, resting aspect of the whole thing blows my mind. So they needed the DH spot for that. You remove Alvarez from the equation because of the neck, which frees up the way this lineup is right now. Apparently frees up the DH role. Bregman goes there. You don't have to chance it at third base with him in this elbow. Shea Whitcomb can jump in there. I would have left him at third because I wouldn't think that you would put him out there to rest Yordan, to randomly rest Yordan Alvarez. If it wasn't a really safe bet anyway. So I would rather have Bregman and Caratini. Bregman at third and Caratini as the DH. But they free up the DH. They move Bregman there and Whitcomb goes to third base. So now we got Whitcomb and DeCenzo and Chaz and Jake Myers in the lineup tonight.
Having a good time tonight, baby.
Yeah, man. Let's ride.
Here is the lineup, the new lineup tonight. Altuve, Bregman moves up to the two spot as the DH. Diaz and Pena in three and four spots. Myers, Whitcomb, Dubon, DeCenzo, McCormick. That is the lineup tonight as they take on the Baltimore Orioles behind Hunter Brown. So hopefully this is just a one game thing, Clint. Yordan Alvarez, and this isn't something that is a long-term thing or anything close to it. You never know with these necks.
Yeah.
Because this is obviously we understand what happened with Christian Javier. He had a neck that kept him on the IL. We obviously know what happened with Justin Verlander. It started with the neck. That was the issue there. Now we're seeing that with Yordan. So hopefully it is quick.
It's the damnedest thing, man. I don't know if I've ever seen so many issues start like with necks.
These guys going to bed is the scariest thing to happen to the Astros right now.
Yeah, when they go to sleep, their overnights,
when
their
they
road
go to sleep,
trips,
when they go I would think that the Astros are saving on money and sleeping in airports the way that they're coming up with it. Like if you told me, all right, Alex Bregman slept in an airport for 3 or 4 days, I could see how he could get to a point where maybe he slept on it wrong and his elbow starts wrong. It is the damnedest thing, as you had to say. Also, we heard Dana Brown say Kyle Tucker could be back early September, first week of September. This is coming from multiple people. Adam Spillane had said something like this as well. September 1st is 8 days away. Kyle Tucker is still not running full speed, nor has he progressed to running the bases. Both of those things must be achieved before he goes out on a minor league rehab assignment, which will be at least more than 2 to 3 games. So we'll see if he's there in early September.
Yeah, I don't know that. Again, I mean, we're talking the first week of September. We're talking anywhere from 8 days from now to 15 days from now. So you get a week long there. It could go quick.
He'll run it.
Well, he could be very close to running full speed. And once he gets there, it's not like it's going to take 3 days to decide if you can run full speed. It's just like, all right, are you ready to go? Let's ride. I mean, and so That doesn't set me back in terms of how I feel about Kyle Tucker. We got some hop little bunny going on. We got some lateral skipping going on. We got some upper deck tanks at BP. So we're getting close, folks. We're getting close. I'll take an early September.
Early September.
I'll take an early September return.
Hopefully he can, as we get through, as we said, it's going to the weekend. It's August 23rd. Hopefully he starts running and he starts running full speed. Hopefully that starts to come close. So we'll see. That's the latest with the Astros. As Yordan out of the lineup today, Kyle Tucker has some things he has to get past before he can get on the mound. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, so stay tuned for the fellas as they will have it for you coming up right behind us. And we continue to be live and local, Area 45. I see Sean Bajani behind me, Patrick Creighton as well. I think it's pizza night for them fellas.
Is it pizza night?
Generally on Fridays.
I'll tell you, PC is he's a team guy.
He
now
brings it in there.
PC brings in a grub now.
He will.
I mean, he invites us to places where they got grand openings so we can eat. You know, he's done that for me a couple times. Man, I'll tell you, PC, he's a real team guy, man.
Team guy.
Yeah.
It's team guy. Well, usually Pizza Friday brings him in. I see him getting off the elevator when I'm heading out with a big, it's a good size box of pizza, too.
You added that two in there.
It is. I think, well, that's it. He going to need somebody to open up.
What's your average pizza
box? No, he needs somebody to open up the door. Like, he got to set it down and open up a door first and then pick it up to get with it. So those guys will have the post-game show live and local till 11 o'clock, and hopefully it's as entertaining as it was last night with the Astros winning 6-0, and the boys will have good things to talk about. All right, D'Amico Ryans had this to say about his new running back. And, Clint, I found this interesting because he talked about Joe Mixon and his ability in the passing game, which I think has a chance to be at least early to me, Clint. We'll see how this offensive line gels. But at least early, it may be the way he impacts the team in this offense the most is what he can do in the passing game. This is what his head coach talked about, is him being a threat in the passing game.
Yeah, Joe is a receiving running back. That's what sets him apart. Right? Everybody understands the running game, how physical he is, and how he's able to gain yards. Even when it's not blocked well, he can still gain yards. But he has really good hands out of the backfield, and he's a guy that if it's not open down the field, we can take the ball down, and he's a reliable guy who can get us explosives in the passing game as well.
All right, explosive in the passing games, and we saw that in that scrimmage they had with the Rams. He had a big chunk play for a real wheel route, caught that thing over the shoulder like a receiver. You can see he is better than most, an above average receiving running back. And Clint, I think with the combination of CJ, who is unafraid of taking the boring, at least the CJ we have seen without the weapons, he's unafraid to take the boring. And they've got a lot of dudes that are going to put a lot of fun in the face of the defense that's going to force the defense to try to make sure they try to stop that fun. And there's going to be spaces. You commented earlier this week with the tight ends and the running backs, and that could be a big thing. He gets a lot of one-on-ones. If he gets some with a two-way go and he's able to get people with CJ, it happened a lot for him with Burrow, where they would get big plays, 8 to 20 yard plays with just getting the ball to him in the passing game. That may be how he affects this offense early, more than just getting handoffs.
Ron, I'm more confident in his in what he's going to do for this team through the air than I am what he's going to do for this team on the ground. I think he's going to be better than what Damian Pierce has been. I think he's going to have some of the Devin Singletary stuff where he can make something out of nothing. I think he's going to be better, obviously, between the tackles. He's just a bigger bodied guy that's harder to tackle. He's going to be able to push piles, things of that nature. I think the run game is significantly better, but with what I've seen from this offensive line, I don't expect all of a sudden him to be able to overcome until I see more, until I see different, until I see better, I don't think he's a guy that is going to be able to, which I don't think anybody is, by the way, but just to just go in there and make this running game work without a lot of, with a lot of improvement from the offensive line. So I'm a little bit leery, I guess, of what the run game is going to look like at this time. I am fairly confident that when you look at what Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs and Tank Dell and Dalton Schultz and Brevin Jordan and even Cade Stover to this point, what all those guys, Noah Brown, what all those guys bring to the table in the pass game, the ability to then shift gears and have a package for the running backs, specific running back package where we're targeting him first and foremost, and we're trying to get a mismatch with him first and foremost. I am fairly confident that is going to be an actual game changer for us. You look at this offense around the league. There's seems like a third of the league is running this offense, and a good chunk of them have featured running backs. And I do expect for Joe Mixon to be a hell of a target, a hell of a weapon in the run game. I mean in the pass game.
Absolutely. And he'll make his mark there. All right. Clint, great job today as always. Tyler out today. Byron, appreciate you holding it down for us and helping us out today. Done a great job. Behind us, remember, Texans All Access, stay tuned right now. And after that, live and local till 11, it is Area 45, Bajani, Creighton, and Chris Santiago. So stay tuned for that. I am Ron Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.